Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 33 of Real Stories. This week we have three stories of the Let's Not Meet variety. And before we begin, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been listening and supporting the show. And if you have a story, please email it to me at thearspodcast@gmail.com. That's thearspodcast@gmail.com. And without any further ado, let's get started. I've been debating about whether to post this or not, but I finally decided that it's been long enough for me to talk about this. This happened to me and my mom a few months ago, back in October. It happened in a very rural part of New Hampshire, like a side road on a side road type of neighborhood. It was pouring out, as it had been raining for pretty much the whole day. My mom had just gotten back from down the street in my sister's car, and I was on the couch in the living room when suddenly I heard the doorbell ring. Our front door has a big glass pane in the front, so we can look from the inside and someone can look from the outside. Through this window pane, I see a man. I didn't get a great look at him as I didn't have my long distance glasses on. The man noticed that I had seen him and waved as if trying to be friendly. For the rest of this post, I'll refer to him as Poncho Man. I got up and thought about opening the door for Poncho Man, but relented. As I couldn't properly see who it was, I didn't want to let a stranger into the house. Instead, I went down the hall to my parents' bedroom where my mom was getting ready for work. She asked what was up, and I explained to her that a man in a poncho was outside our door and wanted to talk to us. She went as white as a ghost. Immediately, she stopped getting ready, closed and locked the bedroom door, and started checking the windows to make sure they were locked. I asked her what was going on. My mom explained that as she was driving home, she had seen the poncho man. He had been standing motionless on the side of the main street. As soon as my mom turned down our road, he started to walk, presumably to follow her. She said the encounter was weird, but thought nothing more of it. Why would someone be out in the pouring rain down a back road in the afternoon? It was like he was waiting for something. I started to panic at this point as well. My mom called my aunt, the two were like best friends, and she asked her what she should do. My aunt told her to call the police immediately, and so we did. We proceeded to pace around the bedroom, frantically looking out the windows to see if we could see Poncho Man. From where the bedroom was angled, it was impossible to look at the front porch and see if he was still there, but we were desperate for anything. After what felt like hours, we finally saw a police car pull up. We carefully unlocked the door and went down to let the officer in. We explained what we saw, and he agreed to do a scan around the neighborhood. As he left, I noticed there was something on the doorknob. I took it off, and it was a political ad for a candidate that was running for office. It's possible Poncho Man was just campaigning for the candidate, but there are a lot of holes in that story. It was pouring out, so why would you go door to door? And why would you go in a route in such a rural neighborhood? The houses are so far apart, you barely make a dent on foot. The time doesn't make sense either. Sure, me and my mom were home, but it was 4 in the afternoon. Most people would still be at work, so you'd probably get no response from knocking anyway. Eventually, the officer returned. He had found the guy down the road and had questioned him. Poncho Man was able to ID himself, and he claimed that he was a political campaigner and was just knocking on doors for that reason. When probed further, conveniently enough, Poncho Man couldn't provide any other door signs as the one he left at our house was the last one. That makes the campaign story even more absurd. Our house is in the middle of the street. It's not like we were the last by any means, so why wouldn't you bring enough for the whole street? Even the officer pointed this out to us and said that it was unusual behavior. Although the officer was suspicious of him, there wasn't anything he could do about it, as there was no way to prove intent. He told us to be alert and do not hesitate to call if Poncho Man returns. Fast forward a few weeks, and I start noticing that a police car seems to be permanently stationed down the road from us, about a 3-minute drive. I got curious and asked my mom about it, and she said that there were multiple break-ins into houses down the road, and the police were doing sort of a sting operation. The Poncho Man encounter and the break-ins may be unrelated, but considering how Poncho Man acted, I have a sinking feeling that they are connected. Thankfully, for the past few months, we've heard and seen nothing from Poncho Man. We got a new doorbell system with a camera, and the police left the area where they were doing the sting. I hope this whole situation is over and done with, and that I never have to meet Poncho Man. Ooh, interesting. That one's a little up in the air for me. So, in the story, a mysterious guy in a poncho knocks on a girl's door, and she goes and sees that it's this guy wearing a poncho, hence the catchy nickname. So she goes and asks her mom about some guy trying to get into their house and wants to talk to them. And she's like, ooh, that's weird. And she has a very bad feeling about it because she just saw this guy walking down the middle of the road in a rainstorm. So it's kind of weird the way that he's acting. So she immediately has a bad feeling and does not want to talk to him and kind of goes full red alert and like locks her doors and tries to check the window to see if he's still there. So they get an immediate bad feeling, which we always say on this show to trust your instincts. So it's very possible that Poncho Man was just casing out houses to see if people were home and then to see if they are not home, maybe he'd break in. Because the police were able to catch up with Poncho Man not too long after he knocked on this girl's door. He said that he was a political guy, and he's one of those people who just passes out the flyers that say, go vote for, you know, Bob Bobson this election. But he only had one of those flyers with him, and their house was in the middle of the road. Our author also points out that it's weird that he was doing this at 4 p.m. when not a lot of people were home. And why would you be walking when the houses are not close together on this street? So definitely a little suspicious for Poncho Man. I really don't know. I think it is very possible that he was just casing the houses for break-ins since there were some in the area. But it is also possible that he might just be a political advertiser. You never know. But I could see why they got freaked out. And, you know, anybody coming up to your house that you're not expecting can be weird. And it's better to be safe than sorry. Because what if you open the door and it's a home invasion? Or this guy's just, you know, soliciting or whatever. Either way, you got to trust your instincts. And it's a pretty victimless crime as far as freaking out and calling the cops. Because, you know, maybe it'll lead to Poncho Man getting arrested, or maybe it'll end up having his name cleared. But either way, interesting story. We'll be right back with more creepy stories after this word from today's sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey guys, the start of the new year can be stressful. There's a lot of things going on. The weather's kind of crazy. There's holidays and new beginnings. And all of that could be overwhelming. So if you might be feeling overwhelmed, depressed, stressed, or anxious, today's sponsor, BetterHelp, is here to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. You can talk to your therapist in an online environment at your convenience. And there is a broad range of expertise in their network of over 20,000 therapists that give you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a quick questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and you get matched with a therapist in as little as 48 hours. You can then schedule video and phone sessions, plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. You can request a new therapist at any time with no additional charges. So join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/realstories. That's betterhelp.com/realstories, all one word. What better way to start off the new year than by getting your mental health in order? It's so important, guys. So start today with BetterHelp. Now, let's get back to the show. So, I am a 28-year-old woman, and this happened to me when I was 13. I'm an adult now, and still kind of traumatized. For a little context, at 13, I transferred schools because of lack of money. The school I went to was a cheaper private school because where I lived, the public ones kind of sucked. I didn't have any friends for at least the first couple of months. I started noticing this boy, Victor. He was always staring at me during classes, in the hallways, and at lunch. It was an everyday thing, but I didn't care because I was a kid, so I only was thinking of stupid stuff, like dolls or whatever. Oh, and one more thing. I was as flat as a table back then, so I totally looked like a small child. The girls in my class started saying that Victor had a crush on me, which really creeped me out because he was 18. I was creeped out but still didn't care much as long as he didn't approach me or anything. Unfortunately, things escalated very quickly. Victor would follow me home every day. Thank God I moved since then and he doesn't know where I live anymore. The most annoying thing, however, was that he constantly asked his friends to try and talk to me to convince me to go out with him or to make out with him after school. These talks would usually take about 30 minutes and consist of them trying very hard to convince me to agree with this. Meanwhile, Victor was behind them watching the conversation like a freak. Obviously, I rejected him all the time, but being the, quote, nice guy that he said he was, he spread rumors about us making out anyways. Fortunately, nobody believed him because the whole school knew that he was weird. The final straw was when our school had a trip to a book fair. I was super excited. At this point, I had made a couple of friends. On our way to this fair, I was on the bus with my friend, and Victor was on three seats behind us, and I could feel his eyes on me the whole way. I was on the bus with my friend, and Victor was three seats behind us, and I could feel his eyes on me the whole time. Out of nowhere, he came up and asked for my friend's cell phone, and she gave it to him. So stupid of her. He returned her cell phone not even 2 minutes later. She checked the phone and showed me that he had taken a bunch of photos of me. I guess this was his way of saying that he had already done this at some point. She got so pissed and went to go talk to him. When she returned, she said the creepiest thing I've ever heard in my life. She said this with a very scared face. He said to me that when you least expect it, he will push you into a bathroom and assault you. Today. The only thing that went through my mind was, what should I do now? I looked at him and he gave me a creepy smile. After this, I spent the whole day looking behind my back, not leaving the side of my teacher. She didn't even understand why I didn't want to walk around at the fair. I was in alert mode all the time, and thank God nothing happened. When I came home, I cried in my room like a little baby. This was at the end of the year, and thankfully, I switched schools again. I told this to my mom last year, and she was like, "Yeah, it happens. It happened to me too when I was your age." I was so shocked about how this was such a common thing. I'm 28 now, and I still see Victor on the streets. He has followed me around several times. I always walk in circles until I lost him, but sometimes he waits for me outside of stores or restaurants. I think about what would have happened to me in the book fair if I didn't have my teacher next to me the whole time. And I wonder if one day he'll actually do something, or if he'll just continue this creepy behavior. Holy moly, that was a creepy story. So, first of all, I'm wondering why, like, he's so close to her, even on this book fair trip, when he's 18 and she's only 13. But, I mean, honestly, this story is so crazy. So, this woman remembers this from when she was this age because it's clearly traumatizing. Because this boy who went to her school, this man, honestly, he's 18, he's legally an adult, is creeping on this 13-year-old who she even says that she looked very young for her age. He's creeping on her, following home from school, like just watching her in the hallways, trying to get his friends to convince her to make out with him or go out with him. And she always ignores him and rejects him. And one day they're on a school field trip to a book fair. And he asks her friend that she's sitting with to see her phone. He proceeds to use her phone to take pictures of our author. She's like, you know, what the heck? That's very weird. Her friend goes and talks to him about why he just did that. And he says to her that when she least expected it, he would push her into a bathroom and sexually assault her, and threatened to do that day. Which, it's like, absolutely insane, but also, like, tell a teacher, like, tell somebody, why was this, like, this is so out of pocket. That's absolutely insane. She luckily just, like, kind of is sticking right next to her teacher's side the whole time at the book fair, which even stood out to the teacher, and she, like, noticed that. She's like, oh, that's weird, why are you not, like, exploring this book fair? But it's like, if you're gonna stand by her, tell her what's going on. That is, like, really horrible. Like, something needs to be done about that. You cannot just let this kid go on getting away with that without any repercussions. But, you know, luckily, she, at the end of that school year, transferred schools and didn't have to deal with him there. But she said even today that she still, like, sees this guy on the streets and that sometimes he'll follow her. And so it's just really scary. And I hope that she's able to get a restraining order or something, because this type of behavior only escalates. They never are like, oh, you know, I should probably stop following her. That never happens. So I don't know. I really hope that this woman is okay and that this dude leaves her alone, because I'm sick of these cases where women are getting followed by these creepy dudes. They're so scary, because you really never know what the guys are capable of, and it's just really scary. So make sure, like I've said, if something's happening like this, first of all, somebody else needs to know. A trusted adult, a teacher, whatever you feel comfortable with. Also, if you're being followed like this, I always think that the sharing your location, again, with trusted friends is an easy way to go. You'd rather have it than not need it, than need it and not have it. Trust me, you'd never want to be in a situation where you knew that, you know, oh, you know, Mary had an issue with this guy, and then you can't find Mary, and it's like, oh, if you had her location, then, you know, you'd have her location. So just a very scary story, and God, it's just way too young to be dealing with creepy stuff like that in school. Like, oh my God, that's terrifying. I mean, you know, God forbid that children feel safe in school. I know that, you know, it's not really a thing in America, at least, but they definitely shouldn't have to be worrying about stuff like this. So I just hope that she's able to stay away from Victor. And Victor, like, get out of here, dog. Like, you need to just reevaluate, get some therapy, go do something else, leave this girl alone, because you are bugging. I apologize if I have some errors. English is not my first language, and this will be a long post. For context, I am now 26, and I met my stalker at 14 or 15 years old. So when I was 14, I decided to take ballroom dancing classes. This was kind of normal for teenagers in my generation in my country. There, you had to change partners each song, so every girl would dance with every boy. In my group that consisted of mostly teens between 14 to 17, there was a 21-year-old guy named Philip. We had a nice chat when we danced, but he seemed weird. And because I was young and naive, that's how I normally made friends. I told him where I lived when he asked me. So the stalking began. At the time, I did not realize that it was stalking. I just thought that he had so much time and it was annoying. Philip lived one town over, and he would ride on his bike from his home to my house, and he would ask if I wanted to spend time outside with him and play. After doing that a few times, I asked my parents to tell him that I was not home when he would come over. Both my parents and I were oblivious about his actions for a very long time. At one point, the stalking ended for a few weeks, and Philip also did not come to dance classes. At that time, I became part of a friend group of a boy I fancied. For some months, he had a girlfriend, but they ended up splitting up, and I became his girlfriend soon after that. Unfortunately, Philip was also friends with the best friend of my boyfriend, so he was also part of the group. They told me Philip was in a mental hospital. In the span of stalking, Philip was in mental hospitals multiple times, and every time he was, I was glad because I finally got some peace. When I was 16, my family and I were forced to move because our landlady threw us out. She wanted to live in the property herself. so we move one town over. We started living two streets apart from my stalker, and every time Philip was out of the hospital, he would be at my house. It was not often, but still. At my father's birthday, he rang again, and because my family had guests, they told me to open the door. And there he was, looming over me, like a dark, menacing shadow man. I told him to leave, and I tried to close the door, but he blocked it. So I was standing there, afraid, begging him to leave. I ran inside to get my dad to send him away, but my dad said, "He is your friend, so it's your problem." So I went back to the door, and I begged and pleaded that Philip please leave. At one point, he was kneeling and sitting in my doorway. After almost 2 hours, he finally left. And at that point, it was obvious to me that he was the stalker and he was fixated on me. The next day, I sat my parents down and I told them that I was afraid of Philip. And my dad had also apologized to me for putting me in that situation and not helping me. The next time Philip came to my house, my dad was there and told him that I do not want any contact with him. So he left. After a few more incidents like this, he stopped showing up at my door, and I thought we got rid of my stalker. But every time I started to live happy and forget about my fear of him, a letter, an email, or a gift showed up and would send me right back into my fears. At 20, I was out of school, and to pass the year, I had to wait to start my job. I worked in a grade school, in a voluntary school, after school care club. After a month or two, my mom woke me up in the morning and told me to get dressed because she had called the cops. Apparently, Philip was at my door again asking for me, and my parents didn't tell me so I wouldn't get scared. Finally, after the cops told Philip 3 times to leave and he ignored them, they arrested him, and he screamed and screamed my name and that he was burning for me, and the cops heard him. My parents and I were standing in the kitchen listening to this. The situation was so absurd and so much for me that I started laughing hysterically. We filed a report at the police station for stalking and trespassing, but the officers said that they could not do anything because he hadn't hurt me physically. We tried to get a restraining order, but it didn't go through. A week later, Philip had snuck into our garden, and like in a movie, he started throwing rocks at my window. Throwing rocks at a girl's window is not romantic. It's creepy. However, idiot me opened the window but did not see anything until it clicked and I ran downstairs and told my dad that my stalker was in the garden. Philip, unfortunately, escaped. A week after this, I was in the kitchen cooking when Philip rang the doorbell again, and because we have no way of seeing who was at the door, I opened it. And there he was, again telling me that he missed me and saying that he had peeked through the blinds of the windows in my living room for the last week to see if I was there. My parents were not home. If they had been, I would have ran, but like this, I had to swallow my fear and stand in the doorway listening to Philip talk until my boyfriend, a different one from the beginning of the story, came over. I had sent him an SOS message and he said he was on his way. After my boyfriend arrived, he told Philip to leave and he did. Philip mentioned in passing that he also now has a girlfriend. After that, I did not see Philip again for a long time. A friend of mine told me that he was taken by men in white coats because he had believed that his mom was possessed by the devil. I was actually glad to hear this. It wasn't until 2 years later when I get a letter from the courts. I was a witness and was told to attend the court case that Philip had picked up due to assault. Apparently, after coming out of the mental hospital, he had a big fight with his girlfriend and hit her, and because she was scared, she played dead. Philip called an ambulance and the police finally had something against him. After the hearing, he was admitted again to a mental hospital, and I finally got a restraining order, and he was ordered to stay at least 30 meters away from my property. I was so glad. The restraining order was also implied that if he broke any of the requirements, he would go to jail. So it was over. 2 years ago, I also moved out of my parents' house. I am posting this now because I believe that I'm seeing him again. But it can't be. He doesn't know where I live, and he also hasn't shown up at my parents' house. But I believe I have seen him when I leave the house. I just need reassurance that it's not him again and that I'm safe at my home. Yikes, another very creepy stalker story. If you're picking up on the theme of the episode, it's definitely unwanted interactions and stalking. So in this case, this girl has been stalked for 8 years. Our last story, the girl was stalked for 15 years, which is absolutely insane. But so Philip is her stalker, and he's 21 years old, and this started when she was around 14 or 15. This started because she was at a ballroom dance class. Such a harmless activity as ballroom dancing. But he starts showing up to her house. The first time, her dad handles it horribly, where they're having a party and Philip shows up and the dad's like, oh, he's your friend, so you deal with it. Like, thanks, dad. Great answer to your daughter being stalked and trying to go to you for help. Luckily, that's the last time he says something stupid like that, and he actually apologizes to her for handling it so poorly, which is nice. So he continues stalking her, and apparently he keeps getting put in mental hospitals, which is nice because it gives her a bit of relief from his stalking, but it never seems to last very long, and whenever he gets out, he's back at it again. And she said that she would start to, like, move on and live happily, but then she'd either get a letter or an email or a random gift at her house, and it would just ruin things all over again. So fast forward to when she's 20 years old. So the cops told Philip to leave 3 times, and he ignored them. So they arrested him, which is nice. But the cops said that they couldn't do anything because he didn't physically hurt her. Which is like, why does it need to come to that? Why is there not just a rule against stalking? Because everybody knows that it's clearly an issue. And yet, legally, they have to wait until something horrible happens to do anything about it. Oh, it's so stupid how crappy every place handles this. And she says that English isn't her first language, so I'm assuming that this is also taking place in a different country. But it's not a issue unique to them, because the U.S. also has very stupid laws that really are like worst-case scenarios where, oh, he hasn't hurt you yet, so we can't do anything. It's like, why are we waiting until this guy hurts her and potentially kills her to do anything about it? Like, there's clearly an issue. Like, even the cops saw that they told him to leave 3 times and he didn't. So they have a firsthand account of this, you know, unacceptable, creepy behavior, and yet they can't do anything about it. It's ridiculous. So they tried to get a restraining order at that time, but of course that didn't go through either, because why would the legal system try to protect women? Ridiculous. So a week later, after that incident, he tries sneaking in their garden, and like in a cheesy movie, he tries throwing rocks at her window. And luckily, she goes and tells her dad, but unfortunately he escapes. So a week after that, Philip rings her doorbell again, and she has to talk to him because their parents aren't home, and she has a door that apparently doesn't have a peephole or anything where you could see who it is. So she has to talk to him, but she does send a message to her new boyfriend, and he arrives and Philip leaves. It's at that point that Philip actually mentions that he has a new girlfriend. And so she didn't see him for a long time. But eventually, 2 years later, she gets a letter from a court because Philip was, on top of being a creepy stalker, a domestic abuser, and he hit his girlfriend, and she was scared, so she played dead. So Philip called an ambulance, and the police finally had something against him. Thank goodness. It's only been 8 years, and they finally do something about it. Great job, legal system. But so he's admitted to another mental hospital, and she does get a restraining order, though, which is good, because now he has to stay 30 meters from her property. But now she's saying that she's thinking that she's seeing him again. So hopefully he does not hurt her, and hopefully the police are able to catch him if he is violating this restraining order. But it's just a really scary story, because that is a very long time for this behavior to have gone on. Like, that's absolutely insane. These last two stories to have gone on for so many years is crazy. And I'm sorry, at that point, if I'm this girl's father and she's being stalked for X amount of years, I'm taking matters into my own hands. Laws be damned, because they're not doing anything. Hey, anybody in the future, if I ever have a daughter and you stalk her, it's not going to end up well for you, let me tell you that, player, because I'm not dealing with that, especially not for any sort of prolonged period of time. You get like one warning and then, hey, you better you better stop or you're gonna be put somewhere you don't want to be. So anyways, very creepy story. And to victims of stalking, I'm so sorry that the legal system fails so many of you so often, but hopefully they will enact changes that keep people safe, because it's ridiculous. Alrighty guys, that's going to do it for episode 33 of Real Stories. This week you have heard Encounters with a Creepy Man in a Poncho by A-Ginger6060. Then, Stalked for 15 Years by Rulla Allah. And finally, Ballroom Dance Classes Lead to Getting Stalked for 8 Years by Idiot_S-Witch. All stories were read with the permission of their respective authors. Once again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and for 10% off your first month of BetterHelp, please go to betterhelp.com/realstories, all one word. Thank you again so much for listening, and I will see you next week with a brand new episode. Until then, stay safe, everybody, and have a great week.